Hello and welcome to Dyslexia Explored. I'm Darius Nomdaron, your host, and today we've got a dyslexia story to share with you from a mum who is a Hampton graduate, a program manager for a residential improvement grant program in Norfolk, Virginia for 24 years, when all of a sudden she discovers that her daughter is dyslexic and realizes she doesn't have the resources to help her, and ended up actually writing a book, creating a dyslexia support group called Lex Talk, and has been helping people learn about their dyslexia. In fact, she was going to write a self-help book about dyslexia, spent a whole year doing it, and then realized she should write a children's book. And that's the one that actually got published by Zulon Press, called Carrie Overcomes Dyslexia. And now she's getting her master's in law as well. So I'd like to introduce you to Arian Daniels. Arian, it's great to have you here with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Looking forward to hearing your story. You're over there in Virginia?
Yes, yes. Yes, we are. Nice and sunny today. It's about 70. I think it's going to be 60, maybe not be 60, maybe 70 degrees today.
Well, it's nice and sunny here in Edinburgh, Scotland, and I think it's about 4 degrees centigrade, but it looks warmer than it is.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. I've got the window open, actually. I'm feeling a bit warm. No, it's actually a lot warmer inside this room than it is outside.
I'm sure it is.
So let's hear your story. So what we like to do at Dyslexia Explored is just hear people's dyslexia stories. Now, you're not dyslexic yourself,
but you
have a dyslexia story, like everyone who has a family member.
Many people.
So what was life like before you knew about dyslexia?
For me, fairly normal. I really didn't notice anything different than any other child. I didn't start to notice anything until late kindergarten, first grade for her, as she would read, and it became kind of a little frustrating. She's always been a very mature child with communicating, being able to articulate herself very well. Never had any issues with that. She's got older siblings, and I always figured that played a part in why her maturity was so high. And as she entered kindergarten, she always did preschool, and she entered kindergarten, and her kindergarten teacher did say one summer as the school year ended, she seems to struggle a bit with reading. You might want to help her out, or might get her a tutor or something. But, you know, I'm like, oh, she's too mature for that. She'll be fine. First grade, she started having trouble. The first semester was okay, a little shaky, but further down the road, that reading just kept getting lower and harder, lower in grade, harder in performance for her. And we started to communicate with her teacher, and I just couldn't understand what was the issue. What's wrong? Like, she's so mature, and I can't understand why is this such a struggle for her? And started talking to several people, other parents, trying to see, maybe it's the teacher, maybe it's the school. I don't know. I was just trying to find everything else that I wasn't even thinking of dyslexia. And someone told me, do you think maybe she's dyslexic? And they said, have you had her tested? Maybe she may be dyslexic. No. Why do you think she's dyslexic? I couldn't understand that. Not that I had never heard of dyslexia, but of course, what I always heard, you know, you read things backwards. She didn't seem to read things backwards. She was just having trouble pronunciating and correlating letters and sounds. And I've kind of figured, it's something. And maybe she's just not trying hard enough. So I'm like, you got to get this. Finally, long story short, I had her tested. I found the Sinkinson Dyslexia Foundation, who's located here in Virginia Beach, Virginia. They're a nonprofit organization. And they also have a for-profit, which is called the Tidewater Learning Center. And I was able to get in touch with them, explain what was going on. We quickly got her in. They tested, diagnosed, and said that she does have dyslexia. And wow, that was like an aha moment for me. I never would have thought. I had no idea. So they were able to tailor-made tutoring services. Ooh, that sounds tricky, but just for her. And she got tutoring three times a week for an hour. and we saw a tremendous change. She just needed the tools to actually help her combat this and get through it. And they were able to help her. And from that, it wasn't completely a turnaround, but I did see a change in performance, in reading, in her enunciation with letters and actually correlating them and taking her time. And then the frustration I saw kind of start to fade away because she was so afraid, she frustrated. She didn't want to learn. She didn't want to read anymore. She was kind of not eager to go to school like she was. And I just saw all of that change. And it's still a struggle for her, but she actually has the tools to actually do it and the resources and what she needs to do. And she knows how to take her time and understanding what it is that she needs to do. So that was our beginning story up until, I guess, about now.
Great. And what I love to hear about is the wake-up call. You know, like it's fascinating to see what actually wakes people up to dyslexia. Sometimes it's a teacher. And in your case, the first time was maybe a fellow parent saying maybe it's dyslexia. But what was it that actually prompted you to actually go to all the step of getting her tested? Was it another person? Was it another encounter?
It was another fellow parent. And then I also started to think, after talking to my mom, my brother has dyslexia.
Right.
And I started to kind of match those things up and maybe that could be true. I talked to my brother and he's like, that it sounds like it possibly could be. This is what I did. And we kind of started matching stories and what he went through and how my mom kind of identified what she thought may be the problem. We actually had to send my brother to New York to a specialist to see what it is that they could do or what he needed to do and the help he needed to get, because there was no one around here that could do that.
Isn't that fascinating that how much people find out through a friend at the school gate and then through a family member, you know, often sharing these stories and sort of finding the pattern between stories, which is one of the reasons why we're doing this right now is that someone's listening, hearing this story and going, my goodness, right. You know, maybe like right. Arian, this is dyslexia for me or my daughter. Fascinating. Wake up call being a sibling.
Yes.
Have you come across our dyslexia quiz yet?
No.
I'll tell you what, why don't we just quickly do the dyslexia quiz? We created an app that is free on the Apple Store called Dyslexia Quiz. And it's a fun little app that is a screener. Have you got an iPhone?
I do.
Great. It's Dyslexia Quiz.
Oh, wow. Dyslexia Quiz. Okay. I see.
Okay. Do you want to do the dyslexia quiz with me?
Okay.
Well, this might surprise you. I sometimes like doing this quiz with people who aren't dyslexic, because those people who are and that are listening, they're going, well, I would say yes to that. And you're saying no. And it's marvelous doing it with family members. And that's what made me think of it, is your brother. Imagine you sat around the circle and started sharing this. I'll go through it. It takes about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Here we go. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Start quiz. Okay. I'll read it out to you. I can quiz different people for you. Who is it this time? Me, friend, or child? Friend. So it's Arian. Okay. And signs of dyslexia in reading. Do you find it hard to read? Yes, no, or sometimes? And that's
sometimes.
For you just now.
Sometimes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you tend to read slower than your friends?
Yes.
Do you get stressed when you read aloud to others?
No.
Do you skip words when you read?
No, I don't think.
Do you reread sentences and paragraphs a lot?
Yes.
Do you prefer to listen to a book rather than read it?
No.
Do you learn a spelling and forget it the next week?
I don't know. My age is a little different. I forget a lot. So
we'll go for sometimes then.
Okay, yeah, sometimes.
You can also do this quiz and think back to when you were a teenager.
That's what I'm trying to do. Yes, yeah, I was trying to do that.
Do you tend to overcomplicate long written questions?
No.
Do you tend to forget what you just read?
Yes.
Do you often
struggle? Yes, now, no before.
No before. Okay, well, I'm going to give you a known for before. Let's go for before. Do you often struggle with comprehension tests?
No, I
No.
don't think so. No.
Signs of dyslexia in writing. Do you tend to write slowly?
No.
Does your writing tend to be messy?
No.
Do you tend to write some letters in the wrong direction?
No.
Do you often spell the same word differently on the same page?
No.
I'm waiting because it's a delay to you. Do you find it hard to tell the difference between there and there?
No, but that is exactly how I learned it in school. Is just it? How the, yes.
That picture, so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little picture of a person and then an arrow for the different theirs. Do your paragraphs tend to be massive?
Yes.
Are you often last to finish copying the board?
Yes.
Do you tend to write long, complicated stories that are hard to finish?
Sometimes.
Does homework take longer than your friends?
No.
This podcast is sponsored by dyslexiaproductivitycoaching.com, which helps you organize yourself creatively with a productivity system for Apple devices. There you go, 11 out of 100. You're in the dyslexia zone if you've got over 80.
Wow.
And those are the four areas, the green, the blue, the orange, the yellow, the red. The red's actually more executive function and overlap with ADHD, the planning and so forth. But that's a dyslexia quiz.
Wow.
And there's a few other things in there that explain the results, and you can get the results emailed to you. So you can share that with your friends and colleagues and so on. But isn't it fascinating? Because whenever people do that and they're dyslexic, they often get like an 85. So basically an 80 is borderline mild dyslexia, or you've either got mild dyslexia or you've got a very specific narrow difficulty that is deep but not wide. And then if you're like an 85 moderate dyslexia and 90 strong dyslexia, and then 95 and above is extreme. So it's fascinating doing it with different family members and just to see where they are.
I can't wait. I'm definitely going to do this.
And there's also spaces where you can save different family members onto a score chart in the app, mm-hmm. and you can look at each other's scores on the one page.
Well, I've got it set up, so I'm going to set this up.
Great area. So you had the wake-up call. You're not mm-hmm. dyslexic. You discovered she's dyslexic. You got the reading assistance and so on. Now you're at 12 years old, 13 years old for your youngest daughter who's had the difficulty. It started at about 7. What would you say? I like to ask people, what do you think was the biggest challenge you faced in that process? What was your biggest challenge? I mean, you can make an assumption that everyone has difficulty with X, Y, or Z when they get dyslexia, but we don't make that assumption at Dyslexia Explored, because whenever we ask that question, it can be surprising what the main challenge is. So I'm just intrigued. What do you find was your main challenge with your daughter?
The initial challenge was finding someone at the schools, which is a public school, to assist her. None of the teachers are equipped to handle students with dyslexia. They just call it a reading specialist, but it's so much more than just having a reading specialist if no one is equipped to know how to decipher the differences and able to help students and get the tools to them that they need to help them. There's no one in the schools here that are capable for. Here lately, there was a law that was passed that every school has to have a reading specialist to assist them, but a reading specialist and someone who really understands or has knowledge or has been trained in the subject of dyslexia is not going to be helpful to a student in school that has dyslexia. That was the biggest challenge for me. And as I said before, being able to have Sinkinson Dyslexia Foundation, who was able to tutor her one-on-one, providing those special services for her, was the best thing that could have happened to my child. Now, I would love to get that same thing in all the schools possible to help all the students who are like my daughter, who may be worse, who might be a little less, but need the assistance in having someone who is equipped with dyslexia help them. And I just think there's so many students that are falling by the wayside because of that. And it scares me because dyslexia can be, it's a lifelong thing. You just doesn't go away. You can learn to combat it and deal with it and maneuver with it, but it doesn't actually go away. And having that long-term service for students in school, I think is best. So to answer your question, that was the hardest part for me, making sure that though she's not with her tutor while she's in school most of the time, the majority of the time, letting her know that she can do this without someone sitting next to her for that hour a day or hour and a half. Sometimes we did 2 hours within that week because it was just so important for her to have that. So it's actually very scary for me that there's so many students that don't have the tools.
And you had to go private?
I had to go private, yes.
Out your own pocket?
Out of my own pocket. Yes.
And that's a common story, isn't it? You know, that we as parents, I'm dyslexic myself. You know, you go through and it feels a little unfair.
Very unfair. Mm-hmm. Very unfair. The questions start to come. You're sad. Why? How can I get help? And that's what triggered me. What about parents that are going through this same exact thing? What do they do? Where do they go?
And I heard you... Well, there's a lot more to talk about with regard to COVID and distance learning and so on. Mm-hmm. Let's get to that in a moment. But let's close the loop on your circle, because you ended up creating a group, a parents group, and then you ended up writing this book. So I like to ask, what was the reward? And I think part of the reward from this challenge has probably been a reward to other parents via you, hasn't it? So what have you been doing since then? You know, I see this with a lot of the people, the parents that I've interviewed, is that there's the two tracks to their story. The one track is what they're doing with their child. And then the other track is what they're doing for the other children coming behind them. Mm-hmm. And that's often, you know, advocacy and parents groups and authoring or learning to be a tutor, etc. What happened with you?
Well, several things, actually. The Sinkinson Dyslexia Foundation, whom I mentioned earlier, I became a board member with the Sinkinson Dyslexia Foundation, helping to advocate for them, as getting the word out that there's someone here that can help. As I stated, they have a nonprofit side and they have a for-profit side, which will help cover both ends. So that's free tutoring services for people that qualify. That would be income-based. I started my own advocacy group by the name of Let's Talk Dyslexia. And through that, I tried to start raising awareness. I did a bike ride last August. We raised over $3,000 for the Sinkinson Dyslexia Foundation to help give tutoring services to more students that qualify. I have been on our local news here several times with raising awareness, not only just for the issue of dyslexia, but for the Sinkinson Foundation and for Let's Talk. There's services, there are platforms where you can come talk, express, exchange stories. What did you do? How did you do this? Where can I go? Who do you know? That's all located there on Let's Talk Dyslexia. That's what the platform is for.
We'll put a link in the description down below so you can swipe up and you'll see some text and there'll be some hyperlinks for Arianne's comment, various links that she's mentioning just now.
And I will also give you the link for the Sinkinson Dyslexia Foundation so that you can get more information. They also diagnose and tutor, treat and diagnose. And they have tutoring service. Granted, you're in Scotland, but maybe we could do a Zoom thing or something virtual. <Yeah. laughs> I've also, my daughter designed a dyslexia patch for the Girl Scouts of the Colonial Coast.
Oh, really?
she's a girl. She has been a Girl Scout. She hasn't been that active here since we've been on COVID, but she designed a patch because she noticed as we went into the store to get her badge and other patches that she needed, that there wasn't a patch about dyslexia.
So what do you have to do to get your patch? What sort of activity? Because isn't that how it works? You do a particular project or you serve in some way or learn something and then you get the patch?
Yes. So they can post a picture because social media is really big right now. They could post a picture on their Instagram or Facebook talking about some ways that they can create a dyslexia plan. And a dyslexia plan is helping someone else, not judging someone else, not making fun of someone else. You see someone that may be struggling or know a friend that may be struggling, encourage them, let them know that that there's nothing wrong with it. We can find someone that can help you and I can possibly help you. Maybe just having a friend sympathize and understand and just be your friend could help just with your encouragement and wanting to learn and do more. So if you post a picture, go to your local library, find a dyslexia group that may be in your area and let them know that what you're doing and what you'd like to do. And there's a couple of other ones. I can't think of them right off the top of my head, but that's really the gist of it. It's helping to bring awareness to the issue of dyslexia. So she created the patch. I wish I had it here so I could show it to you. So that she could bring awareness to the group. And that was one of her ideas of what she wanted to do. And I just thought that was great.
That's a great idea. Did it. I think, you know, you've got the Girl Guides here over in the UK and the Brownies, and you've got the
Cadets Boy Scouts and
so on.
Scouts,
so you could have badges, a dyslexia badge for each one of these. And that's a great idea. Maybe there's a few scout leaders or other leaders out there of these uniform organizations that maybe you could introduce a badge in your area. That's a great idea.
Yes, please do. Yes, we'd love that. We would love that.
Well,
that's great.
Why don't you send us a photo of that badge and we'll put it in the description below when we publish this podcast, and there'll be a link to the image as well so people can see it.
Certainly. Thank you.
So tell me about your book. You know, so I was fascinated because you were telling me that you decided to create a self-help book for dyslexia. And as you spent a year writing this self-help book, you decided, actually, it might be better to write a quick book for children. And you ended up, tell us the story about your writings. Let me not take away your punchline.
So as you stated, I decided to write a self-help book just to help parents with who may be going through this same process, who might not have the resources, the tenacity to get through this. And so as I'm writing, I kept thinking of my daughter. There's got to be, parents can get to someone or someplace that they may need help. What about students and children who may be going through this same thing? What kind of outlet do they have? And I talked to my daughter about it and she's kind of said, let's write a book. And she's like, I don't want to write a book. I'm like, no, I'll write the book. But what do you think? It'll be about you. It's inspired about you. This is what inspired me to get involved. I want to write a book about you and your journey. And she was like, oh yeah, let's do that. Yeah, about me. And all she kept saying is, I'm going to be famous. No, honey, it's not that. But she kind of got it. And it's like, yeah, I understand. And I wrote that book. This was earlier in the day that we talked about it. And then that night, I wrote that book the entire time. I mean, all night long, the entire time, all night until the next morning, I wrote this book straight through the night. So I couldn't believe it. I just got so excited about it. Like, wow, I can write this book.
So you got into the flow and you managed to write this children's book in a day.
Yes, I did.
Fantastic.
I wrote it in a day.
And that's Carrie Overcomes Dyslexia, published by, who are the publishers?
Zulon Press. And the illustrator is Michaela Perry. She's a student at Virginia Commonwealth University here in Virginia. And I found her with meeting through other people and publicists. And she said, hey, I have this young girl who's really good. And I met with her, gave her my vision. And I mean, she just took it off. I didn't have to say anything else. I gave her what I had written. I didn't have any pictures, anything. And when I got back what she had done, I was just floored. She did an awesome, awesome, awesome job. I mean, she brought life to the book. She Fantastic. Really did. It was great.
So let's move on to more recent stuff then. Oh, well, the book was just published a few weeks ago, wasn't it?
It was, March the 6th. Fantastic. It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble website.
Great.
It's as far as I know, I don't know how many we've sold, but I'm not even counting that because just to get the word out and to actually have it done and available for people to read and hopefully help, that's enough for me.
We'll put the link in the description as well. So tell us a little bit about one of the things that I like to ask people is, in this whole journey, you know, what's do you find is your daughter's way of learning the best? You know, like often this is actually a journey of discovering your way of working. Mm-hmm. And I like to just talk about that sometimes in the podcast. You know, we can get very fixated on reading, but, you know, what do you find your ways of working or your daughter's ways of working?
Well, since we're talking about school and virtual in the beginning had been a very hard task for her because reading itself is just a struggle, but having to read on the computer, understanding it, sometimes tangible things are much better for her. Yes. Being able to hold it, look at it, put her finger on it. So we do a lot of that. And I just ask her, just take your time. No matter how long it's going to take you, take your time, step back, becomes a little too much or convoluted, put it down, walk away. And then come back, look at it again. When it becomes a little too overwhelming, step away. Sometimes everyone has their own learning capability or learning style. And that's what I reiterate to her. She does very good with listening to things and comprehending them that way. I think that's difficult because it's kind of difficult for me. You just want me to just say it and then that's it. She can listen to a book. You can read her a book. And she gets it. And I think I tell her all the time, that's almost a superpower in my eyes, because I'm not good with that. So she does a lot of listening. We at school, they read out to her. She has extra time for that. So that I've seen that really works better for her.
Yeah.
A lot of words, a lot of letters kind of overwhelms her. So we kind of do things in chunks, and that works well as well.
Thanks for sharing that. And I'm into mind mapping, and this podcast is sponsored by Bullet Map Academy, which is all about teaching kids to mind map. So I always like asking people, what's been your mind map experience in this journey? Do you know what mind mapping is? Is it been positive, negative? It's always fascinating to hear.
Okay, well, I kind of looked up mind mapping a little bit and understanding what mind mapping is. So let me tell you what I found for mind mapping, because it threw me because I'm like, mind mapping? What is mind mapping?
Well, I've never heard of that. That's the interesting thing. So first of all, the answer is you hadn't heard of it before you came to this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Fascinating. Okay. Have you heard of visual organizers?
Yes.
Okay. Bubble diagrams?
No.
Spider diagrams?
No.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. I find it fascinating because there's some people you start speaking to them about mind mapping. And they're like, yeah, of course. Everyone knows about it. And then other people are like, what are they? Never heard of it in my whole life.
Never heard of it.
Tell us what you've learned.
Let me tell you what I found. It is more of a visual learning experience is what I've learned that mind mapping is. So but then I also saw that it was, I'm trying to find my notes here because I wrote it down and now I can't find it. But I had never heard of it and I did not want to come up here and say, I don't know what it is.
Well,
so I was really worried. I almost emailed you to ask you, what is this?
Well, that's great. That's great. It's really helpful for people who are listening because, you know, it's fascinating, the whole range of experiences with mind mapping. So there are what we find in the podcast and in my experience of mind mapping. So I map out all of my thoughts as much as possible because I'm a visual thinker and I like to
So this
organize
is kind
my
of like a
ideas visually.
brainstorming thing.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All righty.
So a mind map was kind of popularized by Tony Buzan in the UK in the 1970s. And it's just become a worldwide phenomenon in the last 30, 40 years. It's actually one of the most frequently recommended things for dyslexia. Because dyslexia doesn't just affect reading. It also affects how you write stories and how you organize yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like when you're 7, you realize it affects reading. When you're 9, 10, and 11, you start to realize it affects the way you write stories and write essays. Mm-hmm. And when you're 13, 14, 15, you start realizing, my goodness, it's affecting the way I organize things. Mm-hmm. And you go through this sort of, you know, progression, child, teen, adult. And I, even in the UK here, for example, dyslexia at work, it affects people during work, not because they're poor readers, but right. because often people with dyslexia have difficulty with processes. You know, okay, the process mm-hmm. of reading, yes,
right.
but the mm-hmm. process of writing a story, the process of studying for exams, the process right. of a standard operating procedure within a company. You keep doing all the right things, but slightly in the wrong order, and it makes you look careless. But actually, you're a very gifted and able individual.
Wow. We were just talking to my daughter about that same statement you just said. I didn't mean to interrupt, but that just hit
me. What particular statement?
About organizing, and as she's getting older, this tool is something you're going to need to help you get through life. You need to be organized. You need to yeah. understand what it is that you need to do. And dyslexics have issues with sequencing in order, having things do this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
You know, that's a problem for a lot of dyslexics.
Yeah. And have you come across the book, The Dyslexic Advantage, yet?
Yes, I've seen. I have not read it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, so Fernette Ide was on the podcast as well. She's great, great piece of work. Their thesis is that the reason why we're not good with sequences is because two reasons. One is that power, brain power, computing ability is delegated to another aspect of a role, which is more strategic, join the dots type thinking. But there's another aspect, which is it's very helpful for some people in society to forget the automatic way of doing things mm-hmm. because they constantly reinvent how to do things and they stumble across a better way to do things. Mm-hmm. And so if everyone's doing everything the same way all the time, automatically, right. you don't have the Steve Jobs of the world who is dyslexic and says, well, what if we do it like this? And, oh, this is a better way. And then we find a better way. And that better way gets encoded and adopted by those automatic thinkers around us. So it's a distinct advantage in certain settings to forget the way people normally do things or the way things are done because you mm-hmm. invent better ways. Anyway, we're off on a tangent. So mind mapping is a new thing for you guys.
Yes, and it is.
Next question then is, what advice would you give to your, you know, well, often we ask your younger self, you know, if you were to go back in time mm-hmm. to your younger self mm-hmm. as a child, if you had dyslexia, but what would you go back in time and say to yourself if you were when your child was 7 years old, etc., or choose a time where you would go back and give yourself a little bit of advice. In fact, here's the thing. If I gave you a card, a greetings card, a blank one,
mm-hmm.
and I said you could send this back into a point of time to yourself, mm-hmm. what would it say on the front of the card and what would it say inside? And when would you send it to?
Ooh, that's a good one. To my younger self, I would say, wow. I know one thing I would love to say to myself is, don't be afraid to ask. That was a big thing for me. For my daughter, I wanted her to always know how, no matter how silly a question you may think it is, there's also someone out there who might have that same question. And if you never ask, you never know. So ask it. Don't be afraid to ask. People are always going to be different. There's no one identical. So your story is not the same as someone else's story. Embrace that.
Yeah.
Embrace that. Be happy in who you are, whether it's like someone else's story or similar, but embrace who you are. I'd tell myself that, and I tell my daughter that now.
So
and
ask,
one thing,
go don't ahead. Be afraid no. to ask on the front. Don't be afraid right. to ask. And then on the inside, embrace who you are.
Yes. Yes. That's what I remember. One thing I would wish I was a little more stronger in. I've got it now. That's not a problem now. But yeah. to my younger self, I wish I had not kind of been too afraid to ask.
So final question of a standard kind of questions is, what kind of tools are in your toolbox? What kind of things do you find you keep turning to help you with dyslexia as a family or as a parent?
You hit it right on. Family was really the thing I turned to most, especially for my daughter, knowing that she has the support to get through this. This is not the end of the world. This is not a bad thing. It's just a thing that makes you more unique. Right. And that's what I tell her. So that was the tool in the toolbox for me, having support for her and understanding what it is that she has. And another good resource I use is my brother. I talk about him a lot. My brother just recently got his doctorate from Cornell, and he has dyslexia. He has had it. And he'll tell you, it's been a struggle for him all through school, but that doesn't stop you from going further. So I love to use him as an example that you can go far. There are geniuses, we would say, that have dyslexia. It does not stop you from what you want to do. I think my daughter is one of the most creative people I know. She's very creative. She loves to do things, create things, do things with her hands. And I'm the first one to say, oh, that's going to be messy, or that's too much. But it's amazing what she does. And I just think, I mean, Legos, that she loves Legos. It gets on my nerves, all those little pieces. It just gets on my nerves, but she loves it. And I think that's a unique thing to be able to sit and do for hours. I'd lose my mind probably.
Well, that in the Dyslexic Advantage book, they say, you know, dyslexia, they are the Lego people.
They are.
It's a common theme, you know, really into Lego. Often they're really into Minecraft or Roblox or create environments where you create with pieces and structure and design things and so on. Yes. So what I'm intrigued by is you mentioned in a newspaper interview, not newspaper, but in a news interview, your thoughts on remote learning. And I think it might be quite useful to just share a few thoughts on what's been your experience of remote learning and dyslexia during this season of COVID, because I don't think remote learning is going to go away with COVID. It's here to stay, and we're going to have hybrid models of remote learning. So looking back over the last year, what have you learned?
I've learned to adjust to it a lot better. The beginning, I actually love online learning myself because it works for schedule and I'm able to research a lot more. It works for me. And I thought it would be great for the children, my daughter in particular, my girls in particular. I thought it would be great for them. We're home together. We'll get to spend more time together. Aha, that's not always the best thing. But it became a struggle for them and they did not like it at all. My high school student, I thought she would love it. I think it was a social aspect for her. She didn't like it, as well as my younger who has dyslexia. It was the social aspect, but then also the learning aspect was very, very hard. I think schools need to understand there's a lot of students that are like my daughter who are struggling, and there need to be additional resources for those students to help them be better prepared going forward, since this is going to be the new normal of virtual learning. They need to be equipped and understand what to do. And like I said, no one's in our still in our area that are trained in dyslexia. I'm not going to say anyone. It's not a lot of people that are trained to handle students that have dyslexia. And I think that's where we drop the ball, because dyslexia is so common in everyone, all ages, that if you're not equipped to handle these students who are our future, what are we doing for them? Are we really helping them, or are we hurting them? And I think that's where the gap is for me. So virtual learning, I think, works for some, doesn't work for all. And the ones that it doesn't work for, do we have the tools to help them be more successful at it?
What do you think would be the tools to help virtual learning?
Having those specialists that are equipped to handle students with dyslexia, I think they need to be in either the Orton-Gillingham model, or I can't think of the other
Wilson.
One. Wilson, having those reading specialists that are available to help students in either a private session, or since it's virtual, a private session of Zoom, that they can help them with their reading and be more equipped and so that they utilize that tool, the Orton-Gillingham or Wilson model, to help those students that become more successful in reading that have dyslexia.
Got you. Yeah. Well, Ariane, I've been asking all the questions. Have you got any things you want to share that you think would be helpful for listeners to hear?
I would like to say, yes, I would like to say to a lot of parents, my daughter had dyslexia. She has dyslexia. She was in school when we found out about it. The school was not equipped. However, I went back and forth with the schools because they were going to hold her back because of her reading grade being so low. And I fought tooth and nail about it. But one thing that stood out to me, the principal of the school says, well, I have the final say. And that put a fight in me like no other fight before. You do not have the final say on my child. You do not even know who my child is, but her name. And how could you tell me you know what's best for her? And for me, I want parents to know you don't have to take what they say and just let it be that. If you, who knows your child better than you? And if you know that your child is working hard, I knew my daughter was working as hard as she could. I cannot fault her for working hard. I can't fault her for doing her best. I can't fault her for that. And as I told him, I would not allow him to do that to her. Long story short, she was able to stay because I got her tutoring. And his words to me were, I see you're going to be a parent who's not going to let this go. That, oh, makes me so angry. How could you say that to a parent who is doing their best to make sure their child gets the things that they need and the tool, not just material things, but things to help her be successful? And from that really was the fight for me. And I just want other parents to know that you do not have to just take what administration says to you. You know that your child is fighting, you fight for them, you be their advocate. And you do the best that you can. You find resources. Reach out as to many people as you can, because it's not fair to just let them fail and they go back to the next year and they're still in the same predicament that they're in the prior year. What are you going to say then? We've lost an entire year and you still have no answer, but other than you held her back and we're still in the same predicament. So my word to everyone is, don't just take what they say. If you believe strongly in it, you fight for your child and dig deeper, ask more questions. That's what I would love for everyone to know.
Fantastic. Fantastic. You know, this might be just occurred to me looking at the pictures of your book, on the front of your book. You've got children of different colors.
Yes.
Quite intentionally, I think, because you're a person of color yourself.
Yes.
I mean, I'm saying it because we're on audio here. And I've seen a few podcasts pop up here where people are talking about dyslexia and race and things like that. And I'm just, is there something that you'd like to say about that side of things or anything like that? You know, the whole diversity, you know, I don't know. I just thought I'd open that up because...
Well, you hit the nail on the head. I have you know, dyslexia does not have a particular face. It comes in all races, all colors, all shades. Doesn't matter. It's dyslexia is does not have a face. And as far as my experience and what I know, as I mentioned before, dyslexia does not have a face.
Great. Thank you for that clear answer. Appreciate that, you know. But it's been fantastic, Arian, having you on the podcast. Really appreciated hearing your story and your determination. And I think, you know, one of the things in the back of my mind is you just got a master's in law as well.
Yes.
How on earth do you do all of that and get a master's in law?
Whew. I don't know myself.
Are you working full time?
Yes.
Working full time.
Yes.
Making sure your child gets everything they need at school, which is a fight in itself and a lot of time.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Then there's writing your Overcome Dyslexia book. And then there's running the Lex Talk Dyslexia
Advocacy Group. Yes.
And then there's also being on the board of that group as well.
The Sinkinson Dyslexia Foundation, a wife, a mother, and just life in general. Something else, but I'm here for a reason. God put things in my path for a reason, and I do what I can, and I just pray about it and move forward. So I thank God for everything he's done. I'm blessed. I'm happy. My children are blessed, and I'm grateful. So very thankful.
Arian, it's been great having you on the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
See ya. This podcast is sponsored by DyslexiaProductivityCoaching.com. It's my day job when I'm not hosting this podcast. Tell me, do you know what you want to achieve in the workplace, but you're struggling with how to achieve it? Maybe you suspect some traits of dyslexia are getting in the way. Well, that's where Dyslexia Productivity Coaching comes in, because we give you a simple productivity system for your Apple devices that harnesses the creativity that comes with your dyslexia. It includes proven methods like note-taking, reminders, speech-to-text, mind mapping, and more, all tailored to your needs. It'll free up your time and help you achieve outstanding results. Book a complimentary call to discuss it with me, and if you do it soon, I may also be available to coach you personally via Zoom. So don't be shy, go to dyslexiaproductivitycoaching.com or swipe up and book it now.